like to bring us back into session here. Sorry about that, Ms. Cobb. We're getting the wrap-up sign. Let's keep it going. We are on item number 13 on our agenda, initial resolution options. I will turn the meeting over to the superintendent. Superintendent?
Okay. Let me ask Roger to introduce bond counsel from Quarles and Brady, who's with us tonight, to provide advice and counsel.
This is Jeff Peelan from Quarles and Brady, Milwaukee.
Hi there.
We've laid out for the board what we believe are the three options. I might walk through those very quickly. Option number one takes all three questions, which is the building the new building is one thing. The Leopold addition is a second thing. And the refinancing of certain state trust fund debts that we have for other additions is a third thing. Option number one puts all three of those into one question for a total of $23,565,000. Option number two creates two questions, which would have the building and the Leopold addition together in one question. And is that three questions? No, I'm sorry. Option number two does two questions, which is Leopold and the new building together and the refinancing of the other debt as a second question. Option number three makes three separate questions. So the issue is, what approach does the board want to take between those? I think that covers the possible combinations, and we need the date, and we need to work on the date.
The date would be controlled under the referendum resolution under item 14. So as council is advising, Jeff can speak for himself, but they've advised us that the board can go through their options, select what you want to do, and then which would be the initial resolution. And then once that's established, the follow-up resolution would set the referendum date and direct the board or the administration to proceed with executing the necessary papers around that direction. And that would include whether it be in September or November.
Well, it's like we can do this a couple ways. Obviously, we can make motions, or we can just start discussing. I'd like us to, well, Ms. Severa. I'm sorry, Ms. Robarts.
Roger Price provided right before the meeting tonight a spreadsheet that's at least in part a response to a question I had today. Looks like this. Okay. And I'm going to ask him to go through the following analysis because, at least in my experience, these are the kinds of things that get reported in the paper and the kinds of things that we get questions about. Often when we talk about the cost to residential taxpayers, we talk in terms of the dollars that would be added by the referendum for a building or the referendum for maintenance or, in this case, the referendum to refinance and try and get a lower rate. Those increases are usually in dollars and cents on the, you know, prospective tax bill for the owner of the so-called average home in Madison before it gets reassessed and other things occur. I would like Roger to walk through the parts of this chart that would answer a question. You know, if someone owns the average home now valued at $239,400, and I guess it's a several-part question. There are no referendums. What kind of dollars are added to the budget by the new operating the tax bill by next year's operating budget and by next year's community service or Fund 80 budget? And then separately, what additional dollars are added by the three three proposed referendums?
Okay, I know there's a lot of numbers up on the screen, and I'll scroll down, but I want to just kind of walk through the headings. First, obviously, the fiscal year, and then the history presents a lot of history about the funds that were levied, percentage of change of that levy year to year, what the equalized value of the district has been, and we'll do some projections in a minute, the percentage change in that value. We then have done analysis, and some of this is based upon Department of the assessors in the City of Madison's data, and some of it is assuming going back in that in history, we had assumed that 60% of the change in value was as a result of inflation, and that's been a pretty common factor throughout history. The house value, dealing with that average household within the school district, school tax rate that was approved by the board, and then what would the school tax amount on that average house be for that given year. As you can see, we have the data going back to 1989, noting that 1993, when the revenue limits were put in place, the average house was valued at $99,193. The mill rate or tax rate at that time was $20,069.39, and the school tax was $22,052.70. And that just gives a historical perspective. We jump ahead, and I apologize for the headings not following me. I know I can do that, but I'm not going to do that very quick. This gives you the 206, this current operating year, as we stand right now, with a tax levy that was $200,363,255, and our equalized value at 19 billion. So that gives you an idea that we went up 9.16% in our equalized value this past year. And the average cost or value of a house in the city of Madison was $222,928. And the average tax, or the tax on that average house, would have been $23,24.85. Not a whole lot of dollar change on that average household, average priced house since 1993. You see, our tax rate was $10.43 or $10.42.87 this past year. So to answer the first question that Ms. Robards had put forth is what happens if we've just moved forward with what the board adopted as the budget in the past couple weeks. And presented as 2007, breaking down, again, all those factors into a number of calculations. First, I'm going to take this in twos. The first two lines that are in blue identify 2007 base with no increase in the amount of taxes being levied. There's two different or variation of what could happen or the impact on the average household is going to be dependent upon our increase in equalized value. Historically, we've used a conservative estimate of 6% when we've done projections and forecasts. And so I put that number up there showing you what would happen if we only had a 6% increase in our value of the district. And if that scenario would follow through, the average household, we already know, is going to go up 7.47% to $239,449. Our mill rate would go down to $983,84, and the cost of that property owner would actually go up $30 without increasing the tax levy. Well, we don't believe that's going to happen, especially with 7.47 as being the increase in the value of the average house. If we use an average of 5 years of how much our equalized value has increased, that's the 9.22%. And so the impact there would show that the taxes on that average house would actually go down about $40 or $42. So you see there's a range between the 6 and the 9.2, and that's the situation on base, or whether or not if there's no increase in the amount of tax levy raised by the district. The budget did increase. Include increases in the tax levy. Final amounts that will be determined in October, but the budget amount line amounts that were adopted by the board included an increase of $1,930,905 for community services. That particular increase would add, at the 6% increase in equalized value level, $22.70, at the 9.22% increase, increase of $22 on the average household. General fund, as approved by the board, would increase the levy for that that part of the operation by $9,735,802. Again, the spread between the 6 and the 9.22 gives you a range, and it would be between $111 and $114.47 would be the impact on the average home for the increase in the general fund tax levy. And then a notation in the last two lines under 207, which shows that our actually debt service levy is decreasing by $40,030. That gives the breakdown of what the impact would be. And then the yellow for 2007 is accumulation of those three changes to the tax levy. And the tax levy that was adopted as part of the budget for 06-07 was 211, 989, 932. And again, showing through that, all that adds up to 2492.49 if our mill rate goes up 6%, or 2419.01 if it goes up 9.22%. In that scenario, we would go, you know, the range is from the 2419 to the 2492 compared to the cost of that same house last year or at 232485. I believe that gets you through the impact if nothing happens related to the referendum questions.
Thank you.
Do we take the next steps to talk about the referendum impact?
Yeah.
Okay. The brown numbers under 207 add an amount to the tax levy to support the referendum, total of the three questions. And, again, showing the impact all the way through, that would increase to a range of 2439.93 to 2514, which is around the $20 to $21 range that we had projected. In fact, over the life of the referendums, the actual impact on average, as we presented it, would be $20.77. But these are coming at the calculation in a different way and adding dollars to the tax levy and projecting what that would be or could be. Carry that same scenario through for each of the following for three more years just to do what if the tax levy increased by 4% and we had the same range of 6.92, what would happen with or without the referendum all the way through the process or through the cycle?
Can I ask just a follow-up question?
Sure.
Am I understanding then general fund is what I've been calling the operating budget?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So if we take just the changes we made to the operating budget, that would add in the range of $111 to $114 to the school part of next year's tax.
That's correct.
Plus 22 for Fund 80, plus 21 if all these referendum pass.
That's correct.
So about $154.
Okay. That's
Thank
correct.
You.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other questions for Mr. Price? Or
and that's per year. Right. That's the yearly.
That's the yearly, yes.
Yep. Okay, any other questions for Mr. Price?
Oh.
Ms. Carson?
These numbers are without figuring in either the lottery credit or the school levy tax credit.
That is correct. In fact, I did make notation where I could find the data of what the lottery credit has been against that average household each of the past number of years. As you can see, it's varied between $212 in 2000 to $98 this past year, so it's gone up and down. That's a smaller part of the tax credit. There is a larger tax credit, school levy credit, that is applied directly to the tax bill in lieu of collecting those taxes from our taxpayers. And that amount is roughly, I think it's 13%, around 13% per of the tax bill is credited back.
Just to follow up on Ms. Robart's question, you said something about 150, and I'm sorry, what was the exact number? 100.
We're really looking at going from the 2324 to these ranges in here of anywhere from, depending on the increase of the, you know, 24-19, if there's no increase, or 20, these would be including the referendum. So 25-14 would be the high end. 24-39 is probably more likely. And that's, so you're $120-$110 to the $150 that Mr. Obards had talked about.
And then breaking out the pieces that add up to that is the 114.
Yes, yes.
Yep. That again.
And where do the school lottery credits fall into? I mean, is that something else that...
It's a credit that goes right on the tax bill. It doesn't come to us. It doesn't affect what we levy. It would have an effect on the individual taxpayer.
Okay. Ms. Carson, did you...
Okay. Just to clarify, if we assume the two darker colored items or numbers, 25-14 and 24-39, are your range, including the referendum.
That's correct.
So it would be, if it were the lower amount, 24-39, that's a total increase of $115 for operating budget, Fund 80, and the referendum, and the little bit for the debt service.
That's correct.
So we're talking about $94 for the operating, for everything else, and 21 for the...
And that the logic plays through, because the base, if we go up 9.22% in equalized value, the base goes down. Levying the same amount will cost that same property taxpayer $22.86 as opposed to the $23.24 from the previous year. So it actually goes down with no increase in the tax levy.
Okay. Okay, so... I guess the range that we're talking about is like between 115 total to 170?
Yeah, roughly.
Something like that on the average house.
For all increases.
For everything, including the referendum.
Yes.
So maybe it's easier if we say that we're talking about the range being 100, the what we've already done, increasing taxes somewhere in the range of 100 to 150. And we're talking about asking voters to increase their taxes by another $20.77.
That's correct.
Ms. Severo.
I have a question on the debt service. If we go to referenda for the question to pay back debt service and it passes, then do we see that same decrease every year for the next number of years to pay it off, or will it decrease in 1 year? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It'll decrease in 1 year down the road, and that was not, I didn't get that finite.
Would that be this year?
That would be actually 2006-07.
You take the decrease for paying off the entire debt service?
It depends on what happens, because that's actually retiring a debt that is under revenue limits. If you reallocate that to operating expenses, you have zero impact on the tax levy, so it remains neutral.
Right.
The only way that would reduce or have an impact to decrease the impact on the taxpayer is if you took that out and didn't respend it.
There, okay, thank you.
Ms. Cubs.
Just to refresh some of our recollection, if you look at the numbers on 2004, 2005, 2006, and then going down to 2007, we had the drop in taxes from 2005, 2006. Can you just talk about why we had that? And then,
okay. As I mentioned, for next year, everything we've done is a projection based upon what we finally certified to us for state aid. The property taxes are driven by the amount of state aid we receive. We calculate our budget based upon revenue limit, which it controls the amount of money we can raise for the district from property taxes and general state aid. As general state aids increase, or the percentage that would come our way would increase, that will decrease the amount of state aid or of property tax. This past year, our state aid did increase through a number of factors, and one including the, there being more money included in the budget, which dropped then and thus dropped our tax levy. So it is a direct effect of what happens with our state aid.
Ms. Carson.
When do we get the final figures from the state about our state aid?
September 30th.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? I'll entertain motions at any time as well. Let's talk about the questions related to, I guess this is a question of the superintendent. In terms of the questions, obviously, we have three options. Is there an administrative recommendation on anything, or is...
We have not discussed it to make a recommendation. I mean, there's pluses and minuses on any of the three of them. And,
One of the things that I think that relative to any referendum, that, and particularly referendums that are coming forward now in September or November, one of the things that would be difficult is that, number one, I think we've got to educate the community relative to the needs of the district. And that's the order in terms of what we're going to have to do or need to do. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we are up against as a school district, we are up against the governor's race, we're up against the attorney general. Going further in terms of November, we're going up against the referenda questions related to the gay marriage, some of those issues related to the Constitution. So it's going to be difficult in terms of educating the community, but that's something that we have to do. Mr. Superintendent, do you
have something? Just one comment in thinking about it. What I would not, as superintendent, I would not recommend option number three. I would not do three questions, I don't believe. I would do either one solid question or do option number two, which is two questions. And I think three questions are really difficult.
Yeah, and that's what basically what my thought would be just in terms of talking about it. Ms. Avera?
Since the last meeting, I've been talking with a lot of different people about the different options that we laid out that were laid out at the last meeting. More people, there are a lot of people that would be supportive of option one. I think what really what I'm hearing from people is that especially the questions that pay back the debt service or pay back the Leopold, people are excited about the possibility of in the future having money back in the operating budget. And I think I think that's an important part of the messaging. The people that I've spoken with, the majority of the people that I've spoken with have said basically go for it, put it all in one question out there. There's going to be a lot of things on the ballot. If you have too many questions, it could get confusing. And again, what I've heard is that there's compelling enough reason for having all three questions. And I guess based upon what I've heard, my recommendation or my thought would be to go with option number one. That's what I'm hearing from people.
Ms. Robarts.
I am surprised, but I've heard next to nothing from people about these choices, other than the presentations that we've had for a long time from particularly people favoring either the Leopold edition or a new school at Linden, you know, from the task force-based part of our constituency. My concern, I favor option three, and I guess it's a question of where you want to take your risks. I don't think people will be terribly confused by three questions, one of which is a complete new school, one of which is an addition to an existing school, and one of which is a refinancing to save dollars on the payback for debts that we've already incurred. The comparison for me is pretty much option one. If we go with option one, people favoring any one but not all three, obviously, if enough of them vote no, the whole thing goes down. So it's a question of your risk factors and whether you think, my view is we could make clear to people what the three choices are. They're distinct in many ways. Or we could put them together and just take a chance that a no vote on any one will cause someone to vote no on all three.
Is there any other discussion related to that? Ms. Carterson?
Well, I've gone back and forth on this as well as back and forth on which I prefer in terms of timing. I think there are substantial arguments for any position you want to take. My most recent thought is that historically, the board has, when we've gone out for borrowing referendums, we have done it as a package because the message to the community is that we are one school district. And we put in, and what we are asking for are things that are necessary for the entire district. And that means that, it does run the risk, a little bit of the risk that Ruth identifies, but on the other hand, putting each of them in separate questions runs the other risk of different segments of the community voting only for those things that they see as benefiting their particular segment. And I think that we strive to look at the district as a whole and to figure out what makes sense for the entire district. Not to look at it just piecemeal. I mean, we sometimes start out with piecemeal, but we build it into a coherent vision. And it is significant to me that the Memorial West Task Force, when they came to us with their final recommendations, came to us with one recommendation. They said, it's a package. It's the new school and an addition to Leopold. We're not saying these are separate individual recommendations. They're one recommendation. And I sat through the discussion that the task force had before they presented, and they were really very clear that they saw it as one whole. And I think that it's important that I come down, I think, and feeling that that's the place where I am most comfortable with it.
Any other discussion, comments, motions? Ms. Cubs, I turn the meeting over to you as Vice President of the Board.
Would you like to speak, Mr. Winston?
Yes, I would. I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to move, is this appropriate, Mr. Superintendent, acting as Attorney Sherrod? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm flanked by attorneys.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you.
Actually, the stage is crawling with attorneys.
Which is a good thing.
Is it okay to throw my
attorney? Which is a good thing. Don't you think, Ms. Cubs? Don't you think crawling might not be the right word?
The option number one that's listed right here, can that be phrased as a motion to direct administration? Is that how it would work here, Mr. Bond Counsel?
It would be a two-step. You'd make a motion to, a motion in favor of initial resolution, and usually it's introduced by its title. So you'd call for a motion with respect to the initial resolution that's labeled under option one. which is Appendix 4.
Okay. I make a motion favoring the initial resolution, option number 1, authorizing general obligation bonds in an amount not to exceed $23,565,000.
Second.
I think you can take over again.
No, keep going. Keep going.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, call for a vote. All those in favor?
Oh, Connor's vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Connor?
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
6-1. In favor.
Can I have the command back?
You may.
Is that all right? Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, I can have the mic. Okay.
to call a referendum is really a two-step. There's an initial resolution, which the board just voted on, and then there's a second resolution, which is next on the agenda, item 14, the referendum resolution, which puts that initial resolution on the ballot in the form of a referendum question. As Roger mentioned previously, one of the open items with respect to this resolution is the date at which the election would be held. The draft of the referendum resolution in your board pack contemplates either the September primary on September 12th or the general election on November 7th.
Ms. Carson.
I'd like to move that we adopt the resolution to go to referendum on November 7th.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Discussion. I'll start the discussion. Folks, no. We had a motion on this one. Folks, let me tell you something. I realize that we need to educate our community. I truly do. I think we've got to do it a lot sooner than later. And I would hope that we would think about a referendum in September. The reason why I say September, again, is because, just as I stated before, related to what's going to be on the November ballot, there's going to be a lot of information. And all that information on there is going to, you know, the school district, it's important to us as board members. It's important to the community. But our message may get lost in the sauce there. It really may get lost relative to a November ballot. September, there are high-stakes elections there, but people may have more of an ear to the school district in September because, in essence, I'm not going to say the stakes aren't as high because the people who are running in those elections, it's important to them, and I understand that. Related, we've been talking about this for a couple years now, relative to a new school, relative to an addition. I mean, this community is experiencing some growth in some areas, and we have to, in essence, long-range plan with what people think maybe we're not doing enough of. If we wait, if we put this off and we keep waiting, and those kids, those 13,000 homes get built out on the west side, and those kids need a school, it's going to be a problem. And they're going to, and a school board in the future is going to look back at their minutes, and they're going to say, why didn't Severa, Robarts, Vang, Winston, Kubza, Carsonson, Mathiak, why didn't they move on this? We needed it now. Or we needed it 2 years ago. So I just wanted to have a little discussion about just in terms of, you know, and I'm not putting anybody on the spot, so don't, please, if anybody takes offense, please don't. I just, just would like to have a discussion in terms of September and November votes. Ms. Mazzac?
I guess I'm heatedly ambivalent because, and what is the date on the September election?
12th.
Here's what concerns me. I don't know how to read it. I'm sort of in Ruth's camp. I'm not hearing a lot of people clamoring for when's the vote going to happen, when's the vote going to happen, but it may be that it's a function of the circles I travel in and, the time of the year. On campus where I work, this is a quiet time. This is a time when people are catching up and not thinking about a whole lot of stuff. What I don't know is, suppose we decide to go with a September date that is so soon after the start of the school year, I am not entirely convinced that we're going to get a whole lot of people's attention between now and then. Summer is when people go on vacation, or they're focusing on getting their kids ready for school, or they're driving their kids to 20,000 soccer practices, or worrying about daycare, whatever we do in summer. Timing is everything, and on something this important, getting that timing right is going to be pivotal. And my concern with the September date is that it's too soon. Parent groups don't meet during summer, so there's not even a real opportunity to work with them. I'm heatedly ambivalent. I can accept some good arguments for doing it in September, but my inclination is that November would be the wiser choice.
Mr. Bear.
I agree with everything you said. My first support would be for November for a couple of reasons. Primarily, it's going to be really key to communicate with the public and lay out what we've looked at, why we're doing this, what the costs are and the like. And I think we're going to have to interact with the parent groups and in the schools. And I just do not think between now and September 12th we have enough time to do it the way we really need to do it, especially coming off the May referenda. And secondly, I think if we're going to do this, we need a backup plan that we all agree on and that we've all had time to discuss, that if we're going to go to referenda, I think we have to say, if we vote not to build a school on the far west side, here's what's going to happen. And I just don't see that happening in the next month in time to really, again, communicate that out to the public. And that's why I feel more comfortable with the November date, just so we can provide the information that's needed for them to make their decision.
Connor.
This is one of the things I've thought about a lot since we got the timelines for each of the questions, the student occupancy in particular. I'm definitely thinking a lot about both what Lucy and Arlene and Johnny have said about the political concerns. It seems like in September no one may be talking about it, but in November no one may be listening, because we have a lot of big elections coming up in November. Not that this one would be a big one, but in September it's right after the start of the school year. But one of the big things I've thought about is the student occupancy and the general idea that especially for elementary school, the less chaos, the better. And I think one of the advantages that we may not be talking about enough is that with the September date, students would be able to start the school year with the new facility, and otherwise would be October 29, according to this timeline. And then the other thing is, I think we had asked about voter turnout historically for September and November elections, and I was wondering if anyone had anything on that.
That was provided to the board, and you probably didn't get the packet.
Yeah, Joe got it.
I believe that was provided to the board in the Thursday packet, as I recall, over the last several years.
Okay. And is it historically higher for November? Significantly?
Yeah, it's higher, and it's a little bit unpredictable from November to November, depending on what happens to be on the ballot. Obviously, the presidential election is huge. Some other things, like my recollection is there was a gun control something at one point that raises it. So it's a little bit but higher in November than in September, certainly.
One moment. I think Ms. Carson had her hand up first. Ms. Robarts, Ms. Silvera. Could you? Okay. Ms. Carson, Ms. Rohrbach.
Okay. To answer Connor's direct question, the most comparable set of elections is 4 years ago in 2002 when there was a pretty hotly contested primary for the governor's race and then the governor's race. And that seems to be, there's going to be a primary, fairly hotly contested primary for attorney general. The turnout in September was a little over 33%, 33.5%, and in November it was 54%. So the turnout is higher, and I think your points about the problems of September versus November, I think, capsulize the issue, and I think that's some of what Lucy is talking about, too. In terms of the actual opening of the school, which was a very important factor to me, we did ask the administration, you know, if we authorized money to go ahead with the planning process. And there's an awful lot that needs to go forward before we actually start digging. My understanding is that with that authorization, we will actually be able, going in November, we will still be able to open at the start of school in September.
That's correct.
So, and that was a concern for a number of us, because it, you know, you really can't reformulate a new school in the middle of the year. It creates a whole lot of problems. I mean, like Lucy, I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on this one. I think that the things that I found most persuasive are just how difficult it is to get the involvement and attention of staff and parents until just before school starts, and at that point there's so many other things that they're doing. If parents are the way I always was, which was I never got school supplies ahead of time. I'm always there when they've run out of the glue bottles that you need or something like that. It's hard to focus on other things. I think there is a danger that in November there'll be an awful lot on the ballot. What hopefully we will be able to do is spend a lot of the time in September and early October before the other stuff becomes so much more of a dominant issue that we build some of the education. But it's a chance. I mean, it's risky. I just think that the risks of September are a little higher.
Ms. Robarts.
I don't need to talk. I was going to address the same question of whether we could move the occupancy up by authorizing planning.
All right. Mr. Bay.
Oh. I'm going to vote for the November election. I think that referendums, the board itself cannot go to the community. It's usually board directive, and then it's a lot of community efforts. And during the summer, the people that we need to help with are not, you know, organized. UW student votes, if they do turn out for the general election in November, I think a lot of the issues that are on the maybe on the ballots may work to our advantage. And but, you know, who knows? I wish I could predict how it's going to turn out November or September, but I think for me, as a family, I have vacations planned that mid-August to first week of September, and I assume that a lot of families with children have that plan also.
Yeah.
So my preference is to go to November and give the people who's going to support the referendum time to work with the board to educate the community. So,
Yeah, I thought there was something in the board policy that says school board members can't take vacations or something like that. At least I haven't taken any. Anyway, that's not true.
We changed that.
I missed the meeting. That's right. See? I missed that plane. That's what happens.
You have to apply specially for that.
Gotcha. Okay. I didn't know this. It will tell you. I worked so hard in SeaWorld, it wasn't even funny. Okay. Any more discussion relative to the motion? We do have a motion on the floor. All right. Question's been called. Here we go. Connor, your vote?
Aye.
The rest of the board, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes 7-0.
Mr. Winston, I might suggest that I realize you didn't want to do very much business at the July 19th meeting, but you might want to entertain putting on that agenda to give us the authority to go ahead and begin the planning process and carry it through design development at that point in time.
Okay.
And we can try to have an estimate of exactly what that cost would be, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. We will do that.